welcome to a special episode of the Blood Bowl Anyone podcast. Basically, what with UKTC, the biggest tournament in the UK happening next weekend, and us obviously spending a lot of time developing our teams for it, we've just releasing a preview or a precursor to the event based on what we're going to take and what we think of the event. So I'm joined, as always, by Bucky.
Hello, everyone.
And Shipaz.
Hello, hello.
Unfortunately, Pio has not been able to join us tonight, but we'll be able to fill you in on some of the details of his team, which, spoiler alert, nothing's really changed for any of us. But first things first, before UKTC, there was the Northeast Doubles Tournament, which we alluded at in our last episode. We put together our teams as a tester to see what we were going to take into UKTC, and we went into the event. Now, it was myself and Shippers in one team and Pio and Bucky in another. And yeah, so let's go to the match report and see how it went.
Good morning and welcome to Northeast Doubles in Durham at the Bearded Card Trader. We have the full cast here today.
I know, it's so beautiful. They're so sexy and I can touch them.
I feel very touched.
Oh God. So obviously we've been through our teams that we're taking, so we're just here. Round one's going to start very shortly, so we're just getting ready for that. So what's the predictions for the day then?
The predictions are I'm going to get very drunk because I'm on the train and then getting the lift back. So I'm going to be having a beer every single game.
So are you going to be using that as an excuse when you lose to Shippers?
No. Well, the thing is, I might lose. I don't care. I really don't care. I've got six blocking ogres. It doesn't take much thought process. It's like, just roll dice. Yeah. That's all I'm doing all day.
I must admit, I don't want to get paired against you at any point today.
Most people don't, though, to be fair.
I mean, right.
If we get a situation where it's six blocking ogres versus six blocking ogres.
Yeah, that's going to be hard. This is where my guard will hopefully come into play.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. And I'm just going to have the fun of Pio to my left or right and observing what happens over the day.
And then obviously throwing loads of flings as ammunition, because how you play.
Yeah, just throwing things left, right and centre.
All right, well, here we go. Round one starting. Let's go for it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Round one has been finished. So, how did we get on?
Okay, so we'll go around this way. Shippers?
Yeah, so it's 1-1 against Tablet. So, Ogres versus Norse. Pretty close game, but couldn't get there in the end with a Noblar pickup and throw.
How did your first turn go?
It was Nurgle, wasn't it?
First turn.
Yeah, it was Nurgle.
Nurgle. Yeah, I'm thinking of Norse on the mind. First turn, I had six ogres, and there's four of them boneheaded.
So it went well. Buggy?
Okay, so I played against orcs. I won 3-0. The agility fling with block is a thing.
It's dirty.
He is filthy. He does the business.
Well, I won against Chaos Dwarfs 2-0.
Ooh, nice.
It was very good first half for me because I was defending, but because the ball landed towards the side, it kind of meant his team was too far spread to make a difference. And then I was the one breaking armor and getting casualties. And God, I love sneaky gets. Two casualties before we got sent off. And it was
very
like,
good.
Right, thank you very much. He's done his job. Goodbye. And then the second half, I just held on and then just managed to move up the pitch and score. It was good.
Nice. I was against Black Hawks and Scally.
Yep.
And I think it was the highest scoring game I've ever been in. Like, seriously, I actually scored four times.
Four?
4-0.
Oh, bloody hell.
I know.
You're on for the most touchdowns there, then.
I'm like, oh my God, what the hell is going on here? How have I done this? But yes, it was, it just, Underworld, a gutter runner with two heads is fantastic. I did a lovely, to score my second, I jumped over a prone player.
Oh, you do that one, don't you?
Oh, yes. Down the right-hand side, Scally pushed me in, blitzed, knocked him down, straight over. Easy as. Yeah. Three-plus jump, because it was into one tackle zone.
But if my maths is right, then, at the moment, Bucky,
We're you ahead. Guys have
think,
6 points.
I think we are.
But we do have the same amount of touchdowns, if that works.
No.
Yes. We've got five, and you've got five.
Yeah, if you take the deficit of...
I didn't say
against...
net.
Oh, you didn't say
I just
net.
Said
oh.
We've got the same amount of touchdowns.
Oh, I see. He's trying to find technicalities rolling. Now.
No, I'm just saying we've got the same amount of touchdowns. I know we're behind, but we have got the same amount of touchdowns.
Right. Okay, well, food is coming now, so I'm going to go.
Yes, so it's the break.
Love you lots, people.
And then off to round two. And we'll see where everybody's placed. Round two has finished. So here we are. And it's been good for everybody all round. So if we quickly go through the individual results.
1-1 for me against Undead with Ogres.
It was a 1-1 draw for me. Amazing game with Dante.
I had a 1-0 win against Walker, and he's undead.
I had a 1-0 win against Big Red, playing Wood Elves, which was really good. So I thought there was going to be a lot more, but we had everything from an interception in there to, just War Dancers failing leaps. It was brilliant. But what that means is that going into the final round, we have two teams, both with technically two wins and zero losses, as both of our teams have won both.
If you win and draw, your team
is
wins
overall
the round.
A win.
Poor Bucky's heart, right, was going through the sodding roof on his one because Skaven were doing brilliant. Dante was playing awesome.
Usual, it was an amazing
game.
I think the play of the tournament has to go to Dante so far with the crowd surf chamber with the ball. He didn't blitz the ball carrier, but he just set it with everything else. So he pushed into the ball carrier, which then popped it and went off the pitch. It was a beautiful setup and well deserved attention at the end.
Well orchestrated.
Should say. Yeah, well orchestrated.
Excellent. So it looks like round three tables are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be us against each in the final. What I'm hoping.
Podcast.
Yes. Well, what I'm hoping is if they get into the final top table, say if we get second, that means we can play for runners up.
Yeah.
And then we can have literally the podcast getting first and second.
That would be cool. That would be amazing.
All right,
we'll see how it goes.
Let's see. Catch you later, guys. Okay, so a very stressful and eventful round three.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go back through the results again. So, Shippers?
1-0 to Ogres. So, Ogres beat Dark Elves 1-0.
Bucky?
I drew with Kemri 1-1.
I valiantly fought hard with three ogres and lost.
I was going to say, no.
I lost 2-0 against a very dirty goblin team with a movement 8, agility 2 plus pogoer and a strip ball goblin. Blair.
And I managed a 1-0 win, which... basically, I got because of double skulls.
Yes.
Well, he had a lot of dodges and that to do, but the double skulls obviously helped quite a lot.
My 1-0 win basically came down to the try to throw the ball and the ogre.
Yeah, you intercepted.
Body blocked it with a 6.
It was awesome.
And I was able to score in the first half, and second half was just me making a massive sideline cane of ogres, overlapped of ogres.
So, as it stands, team-wise, myself and Shippers have won all of our games.
Yep.
All
the rounds. We've lost one, so you win the BBA, anyone. Well done. But this is the interesting part now. We are waiting for the results because BB anyone could be winning the tournament overall. Or they could be coming runners-up because on the same results as everyone else. So Martin's crunching the numbers now, and we'll find out soon enough, which means hopefully... But what I think it proves my point, how awesome Stunties are, because you've had a goblin team... in one of the top teams, you've had an ogre team in one of the potential...
And then
you've had halflings and ogre team all battling for the top place. I think Stunties are too awesome now to be considered weak.
I just think it's the strength of the players playing than myself.
They have probably the best in our leagues playing those teams.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because technically I'm not Stunty, so it's true.
Do you know what I'm looking forward to most about UKTC? I do not have to play James. He's on our team. Your team. He's on our team.
What I'm looking forward to most is Dean actually turning up to an event. DJ Chris.
This could be two tournaments in a row for the podcast.
Yeah, but the thing is, yours didn't really count because you set it up.
And you cheated.
Yeah, right. Okay, so we'll hand it over to Walker for the results.
First off, I'd just like to thank everyone for coming. I think it's been a good day and I've really enjoyed the doubles mix-up. It's had a lot of flair to it. I'd also like to thank JP for having us. Before we start going through the prizes, I'd like to thank everyone for the donations for the Ukraine. We've raised over 100.
Well, that's good.
And then the business. The spoon. The most coveted of all the prizes. Goes to Reubenites.
Yay!
Haj, we're a tie on this, but someone's got another prize, so we're going for Gizza 6.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Touchdowns. So,
I've heard of things.
So, this one was quite contested, and we went down to the fourth prize because the fourth place because people have won prizes above this, and that's going to Bucky with Halflings. Stunty Cup, quite a few stunties here, did well, and again, I think this one went down to eighth place in the overall rankings because some stunties did pretty well. And that's going to peel. Best painted, as just by JP, has gone to the Lord of Snotdown. Right, and the runner-up and winner, this was drastically close. I was scribbling away, double-checking all of the numbers by hand. And the runner, so they both won each round, so they had 6 points overall. They both won 4 games, so it's gone down to net cash and net touchdowns. Which are +9 and +10. So the runners up are Hardcore Stig and Yutlika. And your winners of North East Doubles are Shippers and the Cow Daddy.
Well done! Well done! Well done!
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Martin.
I can't believe that.
I just speak to
well done. Well done.
So there we have it. Northeast Doubles. And it was an eventful one, which for a total of what? 10 minutes we thought we'd won?
Yeah, pretty much around 10 minutes. I was like looking to like spend my voucher and everything.
I'd already spent mine. When we were working out the results, I was, because I've been after the Necromunda rulebook for a while, and it was there. So while we were working out the results, I was like, well, we're either first or second based on our strength of schedule. We thought we were second straight off, didn't we?
Yeah,
But, you know, always hoping. So I went and spoke to the bearded card trader and said, look, I'm going to get this with me voucher. Whichever one I get, I'll obviously bring it over. And he was like, yeah, no bother. So I got the voucher. I turned round, got congratulated. Obviously, we both went a little bit too mental than we should have.
Yeah. There's many tears. Hugging.
Disbelief held all round. Yeah. And then I went straight up to the counter and bought my book, and then I had to turn around afterwards and say, "Ah!" But I've spoken to obviously Adam and James, yeah. And there was a difference of £5 between the vouchers, so they refused to take the £5 off me, so I put £5 towards the charity that was at the event.
If I see them at a UKT, so I'm going to buy both from a pint.
But you definitely will.
Yeah.
Because James is on Bucky's team for a start.
Yeah. So, he's getting a pint.
Yeah. Oh, it's so close to the end as well, Bucky.
I know. We were on top table as well, against Adam and James as well. It was pretty much, I think there was like about 14, wasn't there? Kind of up there at the top at the end, but it was super close. I drew my last game. I think PO got beat off James Goblins. But yeah, the games were super tight, like all day. It was great fun, an absolutely great day. It really was.
See, my last game actually went down to basically a dice roll, because there was a chance for my opponent to manage to draw. Went down to one dice roll and then managed to keep it. I did enough to basically make them have to roll a lot of dice, so one of the dice didn't come off. But yeah, it was such a great event, and I'm not just saying that because we won. It just was. I really liked the team aspect of it.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it. Whereas like you're also like rooting for someone. It's not like say, oh, you're just going over a chat with your mate or whatever when like just a little bit before the game or something. It's like, yeah, you can just discuss with your team member and say, like, oh, like, and see where they're at and things like that, and give encouragement.
Walker put on an absolutely fantastic tournament again. He's becoming the tournament organizer in the Northeast, didn't he? Block on the Tide and this. Both brilliant tournaments. Nothing to take away from your charity bowl, Bucky, sorry. But, you know, if you are win your own fucking event, then...
Yeah, if a cheater wins it, you know.
Oh, I wonder how many years it's going to be until that gets old. Yeah, so that brings us on to UKTC next weekend.
And there was much rejoicing.
I think, to cut to the chase... Not one of us is going to change our rosters.
No, not on my end, definitely not. I'm pretty happy. Like, because for my roster, it's pretty boring, cut and dry. With ogres, it's going to be 6-block ogres. I'm keeping leader and my punter. I'm taking 2 team rerolls. I want the 3rd reroll through a cheaper mean, being 20k leader on a punter. And then finally, it'd be like down to my final skill. It's like a choice between, do I get sneaky git on a nobbler or say pair of hands? And since I don't have any ball handling skills on the team, I'm sticking with, say, a pair of hands. And it did some nice things for us at Northeast Doubles. I mean, the Nobler would get punched off the table, but at least when that happened, it's not going down to a random scatter. Like, it could have been real nasty in, let's say, my final game when I played against Dark Elder. Dark Elves. Different universe I'm on about there. Dark Elves, if the ball scattered in a certain way, they could have caught it, picked it up in, like, one tackle zone and just got away. But since I had safe pair of hands, I was able to control exactly where that ball was going. I can just put it in between 2 ogres or 3 ogres or whatever.
So go on then, quick run through of what your team is.
Right, so I'm going ogres. As you can guess, I'm going 2 team rerolls, punter, 5 ogres, 10 noblers, and a coach. And for skills, I'm taking 6-block ogres, leader on a punter, and safe pair hands on a nobler.
So nice and quick. Block and leader on the punter.
Yeah. So each ogre has block, including the punter, who is, of course, an ogre.
Is that still only 20? It doesn't go up any, does it? In,
no, he's because his primary skills are strength and passing.
No,
definitely wasn't.
There is tournaments that do that though. If you stack it, then it's
yeah.
I'm not sure which one. I know there is one that does that. Yeah,
I think it was Block on the Tide. It's definitely one we've been to this year. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, where you're allowed to like stack once, but the second skill is like
double cost or something. Yeah. So PO's team, he has stated that he won't be changing it. He's also ogres. What was the differences between PO's and yours again?
I don't remember exactly. He took block and all his ogres. Like,
always
of
block,
course.
Yeah.
Sneaky git on noblers, I think. So PO's going for more damage.
Did he take any bribes? I can't remember. There was...
No, bribes are 100k for
ogres. Oh, of course they are, because you don't get the...
don't buy them, typically. Okay. And even then, when you foul in with ogres, you foul with noblers, which are only 15k. So, like, the value of the foul's much nicer.
Bucky, take us through your team. What did you like about your team?
So, To be honest, it worked really, really well. Obviously, it got ended up with most touchdowns, so offensively just wasn't a problem. It felt like with the agility halfling, it was kind of you always had a chance to score like at any point in the game. You know, like at the end of games, it always felt even if you were ended up 1-0 down. It was a game against Hardcore Stig, and he was, you know, got outplayed pretty much the majority of the game. It always feels like you've always got that chance at all times. With the most agility, it was, you know, you're kind of making it more, you know, odds are saying that you're going to score every time. So it just felt like you were always in the game at all times, which is really good. Like, even if you're picking up draws, something like UKTC, even that's big, you know what I mean? And the points and, like, just not losing, really. So, yeah, but it felt really good. Had the two bribes, and to be honest, I barely used them. I was sneaky gate, just, you know, they were the ones I was fouling with, and that skill's just so good that I barely ever forced us to use them. And when I was rolling doubles, it was cancelling it. I mean, there were some games where I just didn't really have the chance to get fouling. But yeah, when I did, I just found myself never really using the bribes. So I didn't want to change what I had fundamentally, but I took off a bribe in replace of taking the apothecary instead. So just to ensure, like, there was a game...
So you've got Apo and Keg now?
Yeah. Well, I already, because it's 50k for the Apo, so...
Yeah, same as it is for the bribe.
So I go to 2 kegs, so I wake up on a 2+, and I've got an Apo. So
hang on, are your bribes 50 or 100?
100, yeah.
Yeah, so you get... Oh,
the Apo's 100k.
Apo's 50.
No, no, I thought Apothecary's 100k.
Wandering Apo's are 100k, but you can get an Apo for your team.
Oh, sorry. I'm completely...
I get myself an additional Budweiser keg as well, so I can wake up on 2+, which is really good just for keeping, like, ensuring players were staying on the field. I didn't have a problem, obviously, the trees are less of an issue usually.
Yeah.
The problem was when, so skill wise, I have a hefty with block that was doing a lot of heavy lifting in terms of just getting in the way, using fend, so block was keeping them up. If you're rolling, you know, you had to roll a power essentially to get him down. And when he was getting pushed away, he was keeping himself free, which was really good because he kind of becomes like a little bit of a blitzer for you, other than the trees. There was games when he went down, when the agility halfling went down, I think, again, that was in the one against... that was against Dante Skaven. Once he went down, the team kind of suffered quite a lot. Right. So those two things combined is just going to help more keep that agility halfling on. It's pretty much just a save in case he goes off is the thing. So yeah, that's just going to try to help keep players on the field. But other than that, I was really pleased with the roster, really. Really enjoyed it. It was fun to play. It felt really competitive. So yeah, I didn't want to change it too much in the way of what I already had.
I think it's an interesting point here with the Stunty teams. It shows that, like, the Stunty teams can easily still compete in tournaments without access to star players.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think for my team, the agility does a lot of heavy lifting. Even, I think, without that, it feels really competitive. Again, I think it's hard to pinpoint, like, what it is that's making them strong at the minute, really. But I think for me is the amount of cash that I have in the hand to use to build the team. I mean, I'm looking, I've got 15 players there. I could go for the full 16 if I wanted.
Well, yeah, if you've just got 100k back for getting rid of one bribe.
Yeah, that's it. So I've got 15 players, so I'm pretty much nearly a full team. You've got 3 rerolls bought with the chef. So you're looking at, it could be up to, 6 rerolls is the max you could be up to there, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
You'd have 2 bribes, 2 assistant coaches and a keg. Like, it's just all that stacked together. But then, obviously, if I change that, you've got a bribe, an apothecary, 2 kegs, 2 coaches and a chef. Like, I think the amount of starting gold is, like, I feel is what's doing the difference. Because the skills always kind of the same, you know, in tournaments before. This team, I could build this team the same as I could before, really. But then you've got stuff like Sneaky Git adding in there. Just sort of those small tweaks that's made such a big difference.
Can anybody else hear PO going on about how Stunty is now OP? Just... over and over at the moment. Or is it just me?
The thing is, like,
I thought it was just tinnitus.
Yeah, I think the thing is, obviously, these Stunty teams haven't fundamentally and skill wise haven't changed. There's nothing different about them now to the new edition, but it's what comes with it that has.
Is that the same for all Stunty teams though? Because obviously, with Halflings, I feel that in a rule set like UKTC, they do slightly miss out on a lot of toys because there's a lot of things that they would get from Death Zone and, you know, things like that, star players, for example, that they can afford. Or do you think it just doesn't matter?
It does matter in the sense that it would make a big difference. You know, you throw Rumblor or Deeproot into this equation, and that's a very different looking team. Yeah, there's still something that makes feel a lot stronger than they were, and I think, and it's not the players, it's not the team or so much the skills, it feels like
it's the money.
Yeah, the starting gold being higher than what it used to be, I believe, like slightly.
Well, yeah, a lot of the other teams, the purchasing gold's gone up, so the starting gold has to go up.
Yeah, it's costing teams more to buy their positionals. The starting didn't that hit. You know, you look at Lizards, now you have to choose between the reroll or Croxagores and whatnot. You've got a big decision to make. Whereas here, I'm still as flat. I'm just the same as what I was. Nothing's changed. So it could be that kind of thing, in that I don't have to sacrifice anything in this team, whereas others still might have to.
Right. No, that makes sense. So for changes, though, because it's funny you mentioned the bribes, because in, obviously, I've got Sneaky Git, I've got... So if I go on the my team, sorry. I've got the Gutter Runner with two heads. I've got Storm Vermin with horns. I've got a Thrower, just because I want an extra rat on the team. I've got a Line Rat with Prehensile Tail, one with block and one with nothing. Then I've got the Troll with block, a Sneaky Git Goblin, and then... So there's another Goblin, and then there's six Snotlings. Takes me to 15. I've got three rerolls. I've got an Assistant Coach. I've got two bribes. I've got a keg and a bias referee. But the thing is, whilst going through it, in those three games, I did not use one bribe.
That's it. I think I used mine once, I think.
I literally didn't use any. Now, I did get lucky on a couple of times. I rolled a 5 and a 6 on a, argue the call. Now, with the bias referee, then I get to keep them in. And, of course, I'm doing my fouls. That's my last turn anyway, so I'm always good to go for Argue the Call. I did roll a 1 with Argue the Call as well, at which point my opponent went, yes, and I went, Underworld, re-roll it. And then rolled a 5, so it came still back on with Bias Referee. It was one of those things where I just didn't use it. And I must admit, I've been umming and ahhing about whether or not to take the bribes. Or rather to get rid of one of the bribes. Because that 50, I could get another goblin. Goblins are 40k. I could get another goblin on there, and then I could get, say, another coach or a cheerleader, which could turn things at some point. Or I could even just get another keg. So I've got two kegs, and people are getting up on a 2+.
Yeah. Thing with the brave is that you already got the bias referee.
Yeah.
So that already helped. That helps a lot, especially when you're rerolling the 1.
Yeah.
As well. So it's just even increasing the odds, like, your guy's just not going to get sent off. And you're not really, you're not using secret weapons, so you're not saving a bribe for that. And you have your Sneaky Git's going to be your main fowler, and even then, Sneaky Git's, it's not too often they're getting sent off.
No.
As well, in this kind of meta, if you will, the fouling is quite a big part of the game now, I think. You know, whether that's just people are doing it more. There's no, like, change in that, in, like, how it works or anything that's making it better. But it seems like the, like...
Sneaky Git.
Yeah, Sneaky Git is the one that's making it...
Yeah, makes it brilliant.
Yeah.
I must admit, whenever I fouled, especially if I was using Skaven or something like that, where I don't consider the line rats to be indispensable, but at the same time, when you're going up against the team and it's, you know, the first half, the idea of you losing people to a foul is a little bit of a put off.
Yeah.
The minute you've got sneaky gear, I'm fouling every single turn. Just like I'm purposely looking for and going for these fouls. If I can get somebody down, I'm thinking, I don't like you. You've got skills. You're getting fouled.
Yeah, that's it. I mean,
massive change to what I used to play like.
Like the fear of fouling for me was what went. I played the first game against Orcs, and there was a couple of times where, you know, a blitzer went down, for example. And I was just thinking, I'm just going to high roll it. Like, no assists. I'm just going to take another bash at his armor. Because, yeah, like, even if I do, I've got two bribes. Did have two bribes in there. Or the chances of getting sent off with sneaky gear is significantly decreased. And then I can do that. I can just try and roll armor. Then he can just run back out anyways. But before, it was like, if I try it, then I've run the danger of that I'm standing right next to him and I've lost my sneaky gear next time. Now you can just go in. You don't really need assists. And then every turn, just take pops at armor. And, you know,
if someone was down within, say, three spaces, I'm running in, hitting, whether they've got assists or not. I'm just not concerned about that player getting sent off.
It removes the fear of the fail, is what sneaky gear does, and it gives more incentive just to just roll the foul and just go for it. Like when I play, there's a couple of times more against Dante Wiskaven. Obviously, you're looking at the lower armor, and
yeah,
think, well, it's what, 8+, so why, even without an assist, it's actually not bad odds, like just to take pops at people on the ground, because you might as well. I mean, yeah.
The weirder thing is as well that I don't know whether it's true. Maybe Shippers can tell us. I found myself going and stomping on a lot more people with lower armor. So like if I've got an ogre down, what I used to be, like say an ogre and a nobler, I'd actually go and stamp on the nobler just to get the numbers down, because I've got it in my head for some reason that the higher the armor is, the more likely I am to get a double. I don't know where that's come from.
Well,
but I think it's from trying to stamp on trees a lot, because it's like you need a double to get it. So it's like,
yeah, the dice, like here, there's actually some scientific evidence here. So it's like the dice just can't be arsed. So if you try and break some higher armor, just like, you're getting a double.
Yeah, I reckon that's what it is. But yeah,
I think if you take that, say you take a tree man is a good example. See what hitting on is it?
11+,
aren't they? 11+, yeah. Ogres are 10+, and Treemen have the highest armor in the game.
Is actually a higher percentage because of what you need. There's more doubles that make that.
I mean, it doesn't matter with sneaky git, though, because it's just the armor break. After that, it doesn't matter.
I mean, regardless, when you're fouling, you have a 16% chance of rolling a double.
Yeah, which
so well, it doesn't matter how high or low it is.
How does that go down with sneaky git? The percentage you're getting sent off with sneaky git, you still obviously got the same percentage.
Well, that's just on the
on the first.
In general, if you roll two dice, you on 16% or something, you're gonna be 16% of the time you'd be rolling the double.
Right.
And with sneaky git, it obviously improves your chance of not being sent off by 16%, because you're not going to get sent off for the armor roll of it. You're going to be getting sent off for the injury roll of it.
Yeah,
that's it. And even, you know, like halflings, right? If I take a half where even I manage to just high roll it, I get through. Even a KO, I get sent off. I'm still taking that trade. Like I'm still winning.
15 players.
And that's it. Like, there's no reason why not to.
Yeah.
And if you're running low, you've got your bribe. Now I've got one. You can actually take the hit on some fouls and save the bribe as well. You're without sneaky gits, then you just have it. You take the hit, one goes off, you've still got a box full of flings to come back on.
Well, there's going to be those games, isn't there, where it just happens every time you foul, you roll a double. I mean, I've had them in the past, you've had them in the past. So I'm kind of in my head of having that feeling that I don't want to get rid of one of my bribes, because when that game happens, at least I've still got two attempts to keep that player back on. So I'm not going to go down to like nine players, knowing how much I currently foul with Underworld.
Yeah, that's it. It's kind of being like disciplined with the fouls as well. Like, although you can high roll them, it's also knowing your situation. Like, if I'm getting cast off ridiculous every turn, I'm not going to be taking those risks. If I feel like, you know, I'm rolling quite well, I've still got high numbers towards the end of a half, I'd be happy to start trying that, because I know the second half I'm going to come back with 11 players anyways.
Yeah.
So I might as well just start sacrificing them, because either way you come back with 11 players. So.
Okay. So yeah. So you're going to change yours now, so you've got 5 sneaky gits, Shippers?
Yeah, totally. Actually, I'm going to give sneaky gits to all my ogres as well.
You're actually going to give them pile driver so they can just fail with that?
Yeah, yeah, sneaky git pile driver.
See, we were having this conversation.
Why not put
the
dirty player on top as well?
Right, a sneaky git, dirty player, pile driver, jump up, was it?
So
it needs to have jump up as well. Halfling. This is his creation, by the way. I'm not taking any credit for this creation by Bucky. Basically, what he wants to be able to do is anyone so run in, hit them, they go down, use pile driver with sneaky gear, and then even without a blitz be able to run on afterwards, because he's got jump up, he can get up after the foul and then run on, because he can move after a foul with sneaky gear. I don't think the rules work that way,
and I was like, okay, this could be amazing, and I think there was a word named pile driver that meant that once they were down, they couldn't get back up again. I can't remember what it was. I think I found something where it was like, it stopped it working.
Oh.
I like the theory of it.
I'd love to see that on the pitch. Right?
No, I need to be allowed to do it just to test if it's ridiculous.
It'd be a legend. That'd be a halfling taking over from Puggy. A legend within the field. Goblin teams are trying to hire that halfling. Sneaky git.
Yeah, so once you use pile driver, your activation ends for that player.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Ah, such a shame.
It wouldn't then, like, jump back up again straight away. It wouldn't. Because what it stops is...
what it means is, right, if the player next to him gets up and doesn't move, jump up and lets you get back up, block again, and pile driver him again.
Yeah.
No, because you can only foul once
Think
per turn.
Bigger. No. I mean, the following turn.
So let's say they
stand up. You're going to jump up and block them for free without a blitz, and you're going to pile drive them again.
That's the way to go, yes. All right, there we have it. That's our prelude to UKTC. We will all be there, so please, please, please come and say hello. We will see you all there. So that's it from me, and just enough time to say where we can find you all. So Shippers.
As usual, you can find me on twitch.tv/shippers, which is SHIPPAZ, and on Twitter, which is going to be twitter.com/shippers, being SHIPPAZZ.
Quacky.
So, you know, you can find me down at the GBL or down UKTC Hall. Come and say hello. Look out for the pirates. Captain Morgan's stunty gold is on the go.
And, you can find me on Twitch, just look for the Cowdad, on YouTube, Cowdaddy Gaming, or cowdaddygaming.com. And yeah, like Bucky says, please, please, please come and say hello.
Which we should probably mention our team names as well, actually.
Oh, well, we're Snake Eyes and GFIs. Is that right?
Yeah, so Snake Eyes and GFIs will be in the green and white shirts.
Yeah, you can, if you see us, just come and say hello. If you want to find Pio, he will obviously just be at UKTC. We have our teams, we have our bags packed, we have our hotels booked, and we have enough beer money. So, Blood Bowl, anyone?